Morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and a welcome to those watching online as well. Thank you so much to the group that sang a very encouraging song. If God can carry the weight of the whole world upon His shoulders, can sure carry you as well. That's a very encouraging message. This morning, we're going to go through our series of Ten Commandments again, and we're going to talk about the third commandment. And we're going to be looking at what it means to not take God's name in vain. I'm not sure if connected or not. There we go. So the third commandment sometimes is one of the most misunderstood commandments in the Ten Commandments, because sometimes we don't understand the full meaning of what it means to not take God's name in vain. In Exodus 20 verse 7, when God spoke this commandment and He said, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain." God also meant a lot more than the commandment itself says. You see, the third commandment that He spoke from the Mount Sinai shows also how majestic and how holy and how awesome His name really is. You know, in the first two commandments, God said that they should have no other gods before Him. And in the second commandment, He said that we should not have any graven image nor worship it. Now that God established how we should worship in the first commandment, or who we should worship in the first commandment, and also established how we should worship Him in the second commandment, in the third commandment, God reveals Himself even more by telling us that we do need to come and worship Him, but we cannot take His name in vain, but we need to reverence Him either in worship or in our day-to-day walk with Him. You know, in the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, page 603, it says the following regarding the third commandment. The word "in vain," translated, means also iniquity, falsehood, vanity, and emptiness. To teach reverence is the chief purpose of the third commandment. Those who serve none but the true God and serve Him in spirit and in truth will avoid any careless, irreverent, or unnecessary use of His holy name. They will not indulge in profanity as well. This commandment applies not only to words we should avoid, but to the care with which we should use those that are good. The third commandment also forbids false swearing or perjury, which has always been considered as a serious offense. The careless use of God's name denotes a lack of reverence for Him. Now, there's a lot to unpack there just in this paragraph itself. And Sister White adds to this when she says in the book Sons and Daughters of God, this commandment not only prohibits false oaths and common swearing, but it also forbids us to use the name of God in a light or careless manner, without regard to its awful significance. By the thoughtless mention of God in common conversation, by appeals to Him in trivial matters, and by the frequent and thoughtless repetition of His name, we dishonor Him. Holy and reverent is His name. All should meditate upon His majesty, His purity, His holiness, that the heart may be impressed with a sense of His exalted character, and His holy name should be uttered with reverence and solemnity. You know, the Jews took this to such an extent that they would not even mention His name at all. They changed the name of God by not mentioning it at all. That's how holy they thought God's name is, that you should not even pronounce it. That's why even we ourselves, we need to take a lesson from that as well, and not deal with God's name in a careless fashion. But from these two paragraphs that we read from Sister White and also from the Bible commentary, I'd like for us to take out some key points that are mentioned here about the third commandment and see what the Bible has to say about all these points. First, we're told that we should not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And since the word there for vain can also mean falsehood or iniquity, God is saying that we should not use His name for falsehood or for iniquity in any of our actions or dealings with our fellow man. You know, in Leviticus 19, verse 12, it says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Many times when someone wants to make a vow or a covenant or an agreement or make a promise to someone else, in order to solidify their commitment and to show that they are serious about it, sometimes they will swear by the name of the Lord as an evidence that they will perform that with which they agreed. But many times people change their minds, or they don't perform that which they have promised, and therefore profane the name of the Lord in so doing. God is telling the Israelites that if they ever were to swear by the name of the Lord, they can only do so with truthfulness and sincerity of heart. But Jesus has taken also this passage in Leviticus one step further by telling us the following in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, 33 to 37, it says, "Again you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." In other words, when you make a promise to someone, don't use God's name to solidify your promise and to make it look like you're very serious. Then to make it look like you will honor it by proclaiming the name of the Lord in some way or fashion. Don't say, "I swear by the name of the Lord that what I've promised I will perform." Your words should say, should be just yes or no. Next, God is telling us to not use His name in vain repetitions. Don't take His name in vain also means to not use it in vain repetitions, in careless and thoughtless conversations, or even in a joking manner, especially when we do so at the house of God when we worship Him. I don't think any of us would appreciate it if we, in a conversation, mention the other person's name over and over and over. "And you, John, how are you doing, John? How was your day, John? Did you have a nice walk, John? How about tomorrow, John?" It's starting to become a little bit too much, doesn't it? And sometimes even ourselves, when we pray, we mention, "Lord, please be with me. Lord, 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 Lord," so much that we're using His name in vain repetitions. God knows we're addressing Him. We have to talk to Him by addressing His name for so many times. That is also doing it in vain repetitions. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it tells us, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." And what is the sacrifice of fools? Verse 2 tells us, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." When you address God, you don't have to come with a multitude of words. For God says He knows what it is in our hearts before we even ask it. We don't have to mention His name several times in order to somehow soften His heart, maybe He'll hear our petitions. All God is asking us to do is to be wise in the way we address Him, and also do not use His name in worship or in any other way in vain repetitions. or in a joking manner. Many times you probably hear or maybe you know some jokes that involves God in it. God doesn't appreciate a joke about Him. Just as much as you and I don't appreciate for us to be in a joke as well either. Do you like to be made fun of? I don't like that. I don't think you'd like it either. God doesn't like that either because His name is holy. And we need to have that holiness towards Him in our speech. God is not a subject of jokes. Nor can we use Him in a light or trifling manner either. We should be very careful in how we use God's name and how we speak, even in the place of worship. For sometimes we take eternal things and His name and transform it in a trivial manner, and even in a joke, which should not be done. For God's name is holy and needs to be revered. Otherwise, His message and His holiness will lose its power over the minds of the people, and God or His message will not be taken seriously. You see, in Psalm 111, verses 9 and 10, it says, "He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name." The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven, especially the seraphim, cover their faces with their wings. Those that have six wings, two wings cover their face, two cover their body, and with two they're flying. When they come in the presence of God, and all they say day and night, the Revelation tells us, is, "Holy, holy, holy are You, God, Lord Almighty." Since God's name is holy and awesome, we should think twice in the way we approach God and address God. Yet God is a personal God and approachable as a friend, but yet needs to be approached in a reverent and respectful manner, for God is in heaven, you are on the earth, He is the Creator, you are the creation. God wants us to respect and reverence His name. Verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever." What is the fear of the Lord? Sorry. What is the fear of the Lord? The word there for fear can also be reverence, to revere His name. So holy and awesome is His name, therefore we need to revere and show respect towards His holy name, for there is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes also by realizing our place in our relationship with Him. Just as much as we are invited into a personal relationship and connection with God, we need to understand that we are not at the same level with God when we approach Him in our relationship with Him, for He needs to be approached in humility and with reverence when we worship Him or come in connection with Him. A husband and a wife are equal, but our relationship with God is not on equal level. He is not my buddy. He is God and needs to be reverenced and worshipped, for His name is holy and awesome. Also, it goes without saying that we will never use God's holy name as a swear word or as a common word, for His name is holy. None of us would appreciate if anyone would use your name or your family name as a common word or as a curse word, because that would be attacking your personhood, your identity, and will show disrespect towards you. How much more for God? We should never use any expressions that would include God's name or the name of Jesus in any trivial manner. Many times we say, "Oh," and whatever we blurt out is God's name. "Oh my," God's name. Why don't you use your family's name Why don't you use your neighbor's name? That would not be good, would it? Probably not. So God is not a name that can just be thrown out there, but needs to be reverenced, and His name is holy. In the book of Leviticus, we are presented with an incident of such nature. Leviticus 24:10-16 says, "Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan." Interesting enough, the mother's name is Shelomith, which means peaceful. But the son was not peaceful at all. Then in verse 12 says, "Then they put him in custody, that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take outside the camp him who has cursed. Then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death.'" Breaking the third commandment in the Old Testament times, you were guilty of stoning. You were being put to death. God's name was holy, still is holy. And this person, in an argument, in a fighting with another Israelite, he blasphemed and cursed the name of God. Just like sometimes, maybe it just blurts out of our mouths sometimes. And God says this is a very serious offense because it attacks me, it attacks my character, and it brings irreverence and disrespect to my holy name. How much more we ourselves need to place God at a level where He's holy, and whatever we mention about Him needs to be with respect and reverence. Now, why is God's name holy and awesome? What is the meaning of His name? Do you remember the time when Moses asked God to show him His glory? What did God tell him? "You cannot see my face and live, but you can see my back. And then as I proclaim my glory, you will witness it there." Then in Exodus 34, verse 5 to 7, God is coming there on the mountain as Moses is coming there as well to proclaim His name, which is His character. And then it tells us in Exodus 34, verse 5 to 7, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Remember, we talked about this third and fourth generation in the last commandment. But there in the other section of it, it tells us the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, as well as His justice. The reason why God's name is holy and awesome is because of His character. His name equals His character. God came before Moses and proclaimed His name, showed him His glory, which represents His own character, which tells us that when God decided to make Israel a peculiar and holy nation in Exodus 19, God wanted to instill in them His character so they can be transformed in His image as Adam and Eve were when God created them. And by receiving God's character, the nation of Israel could bring glory to God by revealing His goodness, His mercy, His forgiveness, and His love. Did that actually happen? For a while it did. But as we know, the nation of Israel fell into apostasy, and they profaned the name of the Lord among the surrounding nations. How did they do that? Ezekiel the prophet, sent to the exiled Israelites in Babylon, wrote the following. Ezekiel 36, verse 22 to 23, he says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, though thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went." How did that happen? "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." How is God's name profaned? When you and I don't live up to the light that God has given us in His Word. The nation of Israel was called to be God's chosen people, God's chosen nation, a peculiar nation, a holy nation. And for that very reason, they were carrying God's name with them wherever they went. If they misrepresented God by the way they spoke, by the way they acted, by the way they thought, it will bring profanity and injury to God's name. Therefore, God says, wherever you went, you profaned my name among the nations. Why? Because the Bible tells us through their history that they started to commit idolatry, then fornication with the other nations. And in doing so, they profaned God's name everywhere they went. It says, "But I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel for my very purpose and for the sake of my holy name. And then the nations will know that I am hallowed." When? In you. When our hearts are transformed, when our hearts of stone become hearts of flesh where God can shape them and mold them, so we can become in His image, then we are truly keeping the third commandment. God's name is hallowed, God's name is reverenced when you live truly a Christian life. You see, the same principles were given to us in the New Testament. In Acts 11, verse 26, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Why were they called Christians in Antioch? That was the first time when Paul and Barnabas were there for an entire year. And as they were witnessing for Christ. They were talking everywhere about Christ. Therefore, they got the name, well, these people are Christ followers, so we'll call them Christians. And the reason why they were called Christians is because they imitated Christ so much. They lived up to His standard and to what God has told them in His Word, that wherever they went, oh, there's another Christian. Oh, there's another one. They could tell they're different. They were honoring God's name by the way they spoke, the way they acted, and the way they thought. How much more for ourselves to be called a Christian is to take upon ourselves the name of Christ and also His character. Remember, God's name equals His character. So if we're taking upon ourselves the name of Christian, we're also claiming that we want to have His character as well. And if you're taking upon yourself the name of Christ, you need to make sure that you are not taking His name in vain. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If we are truly called Christians, Christians and iniquity cannot blend. There's just no room for it. You either do one or the other. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. That doesn't mean we'll never fall into sin. God says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will forgive our sins. But we cannot have active sin in our life that we love and treasure while we're being called Christians. That is taking His name in vain. So you see, it's more than just blurting out sometimes God's name in a swear word or in whatever kind of fashion. Breaking God's commandment, the third commandment, is not living up to the standards of the Bible that He has given to us. Taking Christ's name upon yourself is a great responsibility. It means that you will walk according to His commandments, that you will depart from iniquity, that you will walk in Christ's steps and perform His will in your life. Your words will be yes, yes, and no, no. You will not deal falsely with anyone, but you will be truthful in everything you do. You will not use God's name as a swear word or make His name a common expression. It also means that you will spend more time with Him in prayer and Bible study as you ask Him to help you improve the gifts and talents that He has lent to you. Sister White, in letter 25, 1895, says the following: "Praise the Lord, praise His holy name is the language of my heart. Christ shall not have suffered and died for me in vain. I will honor my Redeemer by appreciating and improving every spiritual and temporal endowment entrusted to me in a way that shall best glorify His holy name. In making every improvement, in cultivating the talents He has given me, so that I shall work with tact and ingenuity and heavenly wisdom to keep my soul in the love of God and communicate that love to all with whom I come in contact, and have travail of soul, that I shall feel the heart yearning for those poor souls for whom Christ has paid such an infinite price." Now that's a long sentence. All this is one sentence, but it's a sentence is worth remembering. This is what we're called to do. Do we desire to have the same type of yearning as Sister White in this passage? Do we want to have the same kind of desire in following Christ so that we can revere His holy name, His awesome name? This is what we're called to do as Christians. This is what we're called to make as a commitment when we follow Christ. It is more than just not using His name in a trivial manner. It is actually walking according to His will. By doing so, you're not taking His name in vain. Just as much as when I was a child, my father always told me, "Be good, otherwise you are dishonoring the family." Why? How do I dishonor the family? If I do something mischievous and naughty and disrespectful at all times, that says something about my family too. "Oh, that Tilly Hoy kid. What a terrible kid. I'm not sure what his parents are doing with him. What's going on in that family?" So when we misbehave, we bring dishonor on the family. When we are not following Christ fully, we're bringing dishonor on God Himself. It is the same with us as Christians. We need to follow God with all our hearts so that we do not take His name in vain. Are we ready to make such a commitment to God? Are you ready to dedicate yourself fully to Him so that you can bring honor and glory to His holy name? In Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10, 11 to 11 says, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the mention of Christ's name, every knee will bow. That's how holy God's name is. That's how holy Christ's name is. You hear God's name, you want to prostrate before Him in gratitude, in thankfulness for what He's done for you. Not to walk proudly before Him, but to walk in humility and with a contrite heart. That's exactly what my prayer for you is. That you will have an attitude of continual reverence towards God. And that you will not take His name in vain as you are called a Christian and follower of God. If you are struggling with this commandment, Jesus is more than happy to help you and send you the Holy Spirit to enable you to live according to all the lights that you have. God will empower you to never blaspheme His name, but honor His name. Do not take His name in vain, but make His name awesome and holy by the way you live. Make a commitment today. Make a commitment right now to follow Christ fully and to not take His name for which you are called in vain. That's my prayer for you. Amen.